All right. You know, I like to try to talk to people in a realm that will not only help them spiritually, but help them in the natural life. You know, because God wants us to be successful both in our spiritual life and our natural life. I mean, did you ever read there, when you read the Bible, you see that Abraham and Jacob and all of them, they became very successful in the natural. Anybody ever notice that? Amen. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Daniel, they all were very, very, very special in the natural as well as the spiritual. And so that's what I want to talk about tonight. And I want you to realize that it's a two track, it's two prong, it's natural and spiritual, both of them work. Okay. First of all, do you know what you're capable of doing in life? Secondly, do you know what your full potential is? Dale Carnegie said, We all have possibilities we don't know about. We can do things we don't even dream we can do. You know, if you want to experience the life that God has planned for you, you know, you've got to reach your full potential. Now, Eric Foreman said, man's main task in life is to give birth to himself, to become what he potentially is. You know, the truth is, many people live and die without ever really, really fully realizing their potential. They never accomplish what they could. Henry David Thoreau said, most men lead lives of quiet desperation and go to the grave with the song still in them. In other words, they didn't, you know, most of you know who Henry David Thoreau was, American philosopher and naturalist. Anybody ever study him? I mean, I think if you've been to school, you studied it. Now, we are all facing all kinds of circumstances and situations in life, but within every individual lies the potential of living life beyond your current situation. Now, potential, what's that? Here's the meaning of the word potential: having possibility, capability, or power, capable of being, but not yet in existence. You know, some people may look at a situation and say that's a potential, a potential problem. It is, but it's not a problem yet because it hasn't developed. You know, has anybody ever said to you, man, you got good potential or you got great potential? You know, they're speaking of things that do not yet exist. They can see that you are capable of being more than you are. Hello? Anybody that has ever been in athletics and you've had a coach tell you, you have potential, but you're going to have to work at it. You're going to have to get it out. Anybody ever heard a coach say that to you? Now, there's some people that don't have the potential, but you have to get it out. Everyone has the potential to be something. Everyone has the potential to be more than you are in the spiritual area and more than you are in the natural area. You know, the Bible is full of people that develop to their full potential. Let me name one, and everybody's going to say, wait a minute. Gideon. When God first tapped him on the shoulder, he had a negative attitude, negative thoughts. I'm the least in the least tribe. He overcame that and lived up to his potential. Joseph is a story of great potential, but he overcame great obstacles to reach his potential. Peter had great potential, but it wasn't until much later in life that he tapped into it. You know, actually, even though he was one of the disciples and one of the ones that was considered one of the inner circle, it wasn't until after the day of Pentecost that he tapped into who he really was. Now let's go read 1 Samuel 16. 1 Samuel 16, starting with the sixth verse. First Samuel 16, starting with the sixth verse. I'm watching to see when people find it. All right. So it was when they came that he looked at Eliab and said, "Surely the Lord's anointing is before him." Now this is Samuel when he went down to Jesse's house to anoint a king. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at the appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as a man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, the Lord looks at the heart." So Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shammah pass by. And he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen with him." Then thus Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord not chosen these." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all the young men here?" Then he said, "No, there yet remains the youngest. There he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him in, for we will not sit down till he comes here." Now, the literal translation that should be, "We will not sit down to eat." So he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy with bright eyes and a good looking. And the Lord said, "Arise and anoint him, for this is the one." Here, David was just what you might call a teenager. He was in his latter, like 17, 18 years old, everybody, most chronological reports say. And yet, all of these other guys, they're already men. And yet God saw the potential here. And his family didn't understand what David was capable of. Many people here today, you have made great strides, and you're ahead of what anybody in your family or your friends or anybody else ever thought you would accomplish. Anybody that way? Yeah. I went to Bible school with a bunch of guys. In fact, one of my buddies I went to Bible school with, Johnny Hayes, he's in town. I got to call him tomorrow. And then John Hagee and... And then Nick Harris, some of you might remember Nick Harris was on the radio. He was pastor of First Methodist Church over in Oklahoma City. And he turned it into a charismatic, and the bishop didn't know what to do with him till he retired. But anyway, I was talking to John Hagee, or Johnny, we called him, because we were 18 when we were going to school, all going to school together. And he said, "Hagin, people didn't think," and I saw in Hayes the same way, and Nick Harris the same way, said, "Nobody thought that we would ever accomplish what we've accomplished." And I got to thinking about it, and that's the truth. I mean, we were just young Bible school guys having a good time going to Bible school, and then we had the guys we called the Holy Joes. They thought they were more holy than they were, and they never accomplished anything. I don't mean that wrong, but it's the truth. Here, David had potential to be someone. God saw it, but nobody else saw it. And God said, "Anoint him." That's why you don't need to pull back. If God begins to deal with you about something, hey, I don't care whether anybody else recognizes it or not. I mean, they had no idea that David would kill the giant. They had no idea that he would reign as king of Israel for over 40 years and be one of the, besides his son Solomon, he was probably the number one king. You know, because what they saw was a teenager. Somebody that hadn't developed into a man yet. What could he possibly do? Why is God anointing this kid? Come on now, don't look at me like that. But you see, this teenager took care of sheep. He was learning. Now I'm going somewhere with this. Stay with me. Every area of your life you have to learn, and it prepares you for the potential as you grow. Then he served King Saul for a number of years until he had to flee for his life. Then he spent a number of years being chased by King Saul. And finally he was crowned king of Israel and ruled for over 40 years. You know, when you're young, you often get impatient for the future. You can't wait to get driver's license. You can't wait for this. You can't wait for that. And then when you get to my age, you want it to slow down. You want to wait. Anybody, any of you more mature people in here know what I'm talking about? I didn't call us old. I said we're mature. You know, but we have to take time and develop and grow if we're ever going to reach full potential in the spiritual area and in the natural area. So I want to share with you several thoughts tonight that will maybe encourage you and help you reach your full potential. You know, an observation is that my growing up years, you know, I was born in the church almost, and all those years in the church, Dad, you know, I was 5 or 6 years old. He is the pastor after Sunday morning service. My responsibility was go between the rows, pick up the songbooks, put them back where they belong, pick up all the trash that was on the floor. You know, I was, and then traveling with him on the road as a teenager, and then as being in Bible school, and then going out and traveling with him, and then doing some of my own traveling with some of the other guys. We'd go out on the weekends and hold meetings, you know. Sometimes the church wasn't much bigger than these two sections right here, because we was out in the country, you know. I mean, we'd drive down a dirt road to get to the church. And there wasn't no sound systems, and there wasn't but one door, and there wasn't no, there was a path and two houses out back, you know. And the young people don't know what we're even talking about. You know, and then working with my father-in-law for those years, and then working behind Dad for 31 years, that all of that helped develop the potential for me to be where I am today. So it's possible for you to reach your full potential in life, but it's not going to happen overnight. You're going to have to follow God and work with it, and sometimes you're going to have to be in a spot that you don't really want to be in, and you may not be enjoying it. You know, when I was working as associate pastor of my father-in-law, pouring concrete, building Sunday school annexes and all that, that wasn't a lot. That wasn't, one of my buddies said to me, I went to high school with, he said, I thought you were supposed to be a preacher. He said, you're out there being a carpenter. I said, well, that's part of the job, you know. You know, Calvin Coolidge, anybody know who Calvin Coolidge was? How many of you don't know who Calvin Coolidge was? I see some of these young people raising their hand. Calvin Coolidge was the president of the United States. They don't teach history like they used to in school, guys. He made this statement: the most common commodity in the country is unrealized potential. You know, an observation that I've sort of made, you know, our life in America for the most part it's pretty easy. We live in a day and age when everything is fast and easy. And some of us more mature ones can tell you about it. You know, there was no such thing as fast food restaurants. You know, there was no such thing as a drive-through. You know, everything is quick and convenient. You know, if it's not quick and convenient, nobody will put out the effort to do it. You know, it seems like that we have designed church so that it's convenient. Have all the different services and so forth and so on. And I'm just talking now, okay? I'm not getting a lot of amens, but that's all right. I'm going to say it anyway. Like it or lump it. Say amen or oh me, whichever one you want. Yeah, but in order to reach your full potential, you've got to be willing to do what you don't want to do. You know, they do ball a lot different than they did when I was in school. When I was in school, you had the seasons and that was it. You know, you had the football and then basketball and then track and baseball, and then you're off for 3 months. You didn't do nothing. And all of a sudden, it's 105 degrees and it's the second week in August. You're, oh my Lord, it's only 2 weeks to football practice starts. So you didn't want to, but if you're going to stay on the team, you went out there 2 weeks before by yourself and you're running and you're doing everything that you need to do to get halfway in decent shape so that you can make it when the practice starts. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody ever done that? You know, and when I finally found out that it's a whole lot easier just to work out all summer than it is to have to cram getting in shape in 2 weeks. Run till you throw up and then run some more. I got anybody with me? Oh, I got some people know what I'm talking about. Well, you know, as we reach our full potential in anything, spiritually, anything else, we have to do things that are not as much fun. It is no fun to have to, you know, to get out and pray for an hour all the time. Sometimes it is. But sometimes you don't want to. Now, don't look at me like that. Don't try to be hyper spiritually on me. I know you're human just like I am. I don't always want to sit down and read the Bible. But if I'm going to develop to the potential that I need to, I got to read the Word. I didn't always want to sit down and read those theology books and that church history book. And especially that biology, I didn't care anything about that because I wasn't going that direction. And our biology teacher at the Bible school, she was a medical doctor, but she was teaching there in the school. My soul, she would pull, well, I forgot what his name was. She named this skeleton and she had him named and she'd pull him out of this locker and she'd start pointing at bones and you're supposed to know them. And I looked at my buddy, John, and I said, John, John Knatzer. He was from down here in Oklahoma, Comanche, Oklahoma, down there. And he said, I said, I'm not studying to be a doctor. I'm studying to be a minister. What do I got to know all the name of the bones for? He said, I don't know. I'm not studying to be minister or doctor. I'm in business. But if I'm going to graduate, I've got to pass that biology course. So I've got to do what is necessary. See, what I'm trying to get across to you is that we have to find out where we're going with our life and head that direction and do everything that's necessary to get us to our full potential in the spiritual realm and in the natural realm. You know, you just don't wake up one morning and say, oh, I think I'll reach my full potential today. It is a process. And if you just settle down, you'll find out it becomes an exciting journey. Amen. Now, you have to dare to dream of what is possible. The sad truth is, by the time most people reach age 40, the dreams and imagination is a fraction of what it was when they 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 years old, huh? You should never stop dreaming of more. There's always more spiritually. There's always more in the natural. You know, somebody said, Hagin, when are you going to retire? I said, I'm not. I said, when I leave this earth is when I retire. Up until then, I'm going to keep going because there's more for me to do. There's more for me to accomplish for God. Wilma Rudolph. Anybody know who Wilma Rudolph was or is? She was the first American woman to win a gold medal in the Olympics. She said, never underestimate the power of dreams and the influence of the human spirit. We are all the same in this notion. The potential for greatness lies within each of us. The potential for greatness lies in the spirit of man that God has recreated on the inside of you, both naturally and spiritually. And the reason I said what I did in the beginning, because if you begin to look at these men of God in the Word, you see that when they came in contact with God, not only did they flourish in the natural, but they flourished in the spiritual. Hello? See, God has given you the capability of dreaming or imagining. One person, you said, dreaming with the Holy Ghost. Not just in spiritual things, in natural things. God can give you ideas to help you to be an entrepreneur that invents something. One of the men that was on our board and still a good friend of this ministry, Brother Barry Hahn, he was a teller in a bank. And he got a hold. Dad went out there to California, was preaching in the church where he was years and years ago, back in the 60s. And he got a hold of Dad's book about and his teaching on how to train the human spirit and listen to the human spirit. And so he knew about this piece of property through the bank. So he made arrangements to buy this piece of property, just a little small triangle, because he wanted to get into the development business. So he bought it. And he tried to sell it to several companies and nobody wanted to buy it. And he said, well, be a good place for a fuel station. So he went to several gas companies. They didn't want to buy it. No, nobody's interested. So he got up one morning and he is thinking about this property, and the Lord said, go back to the, and he named the oil company, and they're ready to buy that property. He said, I was just there yesterday, but he went. And that oil company had found out that they just saw the plats. They were fixing to put a freeway intersection right there, and they bought one lot out of that parcel that paid for the whole thing. The rest of it, he sold off to businesses, and that launched him into his development business. In fact, the one city there, what's that called? Forest City, I think, where Mike and them are. He developed that whole city. I mean, simply getting a hold of dreaming with the Holy Ghost. Come on now. You know, discover what God thinks about what you can do. God says that you can do all things through Christ in Philippians 4:13. God says you always triumph in everything in 2 Corinthians 2:14. God calls you more than a conqueror in Romans 8:37. See, he's given to each of us different abilities, different talents, and it's up to us to find them and develop them and become what we need to become. Just because you're where you are now, and I don't care what your age is, doesn't mean that that's where you have to stay and that's where you have to end up. Come on now. You know, I'm going to hear five things real quick because I was looking at the clock. It's 5 minutes. Make sure that God is number one in your life. You'll never reach your potential unless God is number one in your life. Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I want you to know it's added. Now go back up and read the verses before 33. Anybody ever read them? It's talking about houses, land, raiment, all that kind of stuff, isn't it? All natural stuff. Is it not? Anybody ever read that? It said when you seek the kingdom of God first, then these things will be added. It doesn't even, you ain't even got to believe for them. It said they'll be added to you. And now, continually focus on the right things in life. Mark 9:23 says, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that can believes. Alan McGinnis said, focus on your potential instead of your limitations. I've told you this before. I still remember Miss Fowler, that silver gray-headed lady that was my first grade teacher. She asked somebody something and they said, I can. And she went to the blackboard. We didn't have we had blackboards with white chalk. Anybody go to school when you have blackboard? And you had to clean the erasers. Bouncing them things together, get chalk all over you. But and usually if you're bad, that's when you had to do that. So Tony must have done it a bunch because he started beating his hands. Anyway, she went to that board and she wrote on there real well, don't ever say I can't. Amen. And then she turned around and she says, if you say you can't, you can't. Hello. Now, you know, every day brings the new potential. But if you dwell on the misfortunes of the day before, you tend to overlook the opportunities before you. Harvey McKay said that. Now, let's go here. You know, speak in agreement with the possibilities of God's word. Of course, you know I'm going to now Mark 11:23. For sure, saying whoever says this might be removed, because the seed does not doubt in his heart, believe that what those things he says will be done, he'll have whatever he says. If you don't speak in line with God's word, nothing's going to happen in the first place. You'll end up being what you say. And then you have to apply conscientious effort to do all the things that you're capable of doing. Philippians 3:13-14. Brother, I do not count myself to apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those which are ahead, I press toward the goal, the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. You know, you put forward every effort to fulfill your accomplishments. You know, all of the great athletes have to put behind them the bad plays. If you're a quarterback and you throw an interception, most of the time the coach will turn around and call another pass play, because he knows if you can't forget what you just did and accomplish the next play, you're not going to be successful. All of you know that my grandson, my youngest one, he's what, be 13 in August, I guess. Wesley, he'll be in the eighth grade this year at Bigsby. He's at camp right now. They're having their camp for their eighth graders. And he's played quarterback ever since he was 5 years old when he went out for football for the first grade. He hadn't even turned six yet, and they put him a quarterback, and he's been there ever since. And so he threw an interception, and then he turned around and threw a touchdown pass. So after the game, this was back when he was, I guess, in the fifth grade, I think. And I said, Wesley, you just threw an interception, and you turned right back around the next play, and you threw a touchdown. I said, didn't that interception bother you? He said, Poppy, once that play's over, you got to forget it, because you got to go to what's in front of you, not what's behind you. I mean, that's a fifth grader. I knew that, but I wanted to see what his mental attitude was. That has to be our mental attitude. If you mess up, okay, I messed up, but hey, there's tomorrow. There's nothing can be done about that, but I can do something about tomorrow. I can do something about the next play. Hello. Winston Churchill, that great English prime minister, he said this: conscious effort, not strength or intelligence, is the key to unlocking your potential. Reaching your full potential will require dedication, work, and persistence. I cannot be defeated, and I will not quit. That's my motto. I live by it. People that know me know that I live by that. There says Ben, he's known me ever since in the 70s. I've always been that way, haven't I, Ben? See, God created us to be an overcomer in every area of life. Amen. He made Abraham the richest man in the East. Hello. Look what he did with Joseph. God wants us to realize that we are created to be overcomers. He says it in the Word. We're to walk on top of all the trouble and the problems and the trials and tribulation. I'm talking about spiritually and naturally. Now, break down the process of reaching your potential into manageable steps over a period of time. How many of you have ever climbed the ladder? The majority of us. Have you ever climbed a ladder By having one foot here on the ground and the next foot, 6 foot in the air on that rung up there. Mm-mm. You got to the top of the ladder by what? One step at a time. Right? Reaching your full potential is a process. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. You know, that's in the term of racing. I was a sprinter. I didn't like running distance. My buddy, he liked running a mile. I told him, you run a mile, I'll run 200 yards. Or 220 yards. You know, have you ever heard this old saying? You've heard it time and time again. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. So how do you reach your potential? One step at a time. You know, it is possible to rise to your full potential, and I'm over time. Hey, discover your potential. Begin to look at yourself and reach your potential through the opportunities that are there. You know, if you have an attitude, you can, you will. If you have an attitude, you can't, you won't. Hello? Now, I know Brother William here. I know he's a salesman at Mathis Brothers. I know that because we bought stuff from him. But you know what? He is one of the top salesmen there and has been for several years now. Right, William? But you know, he doesn't become a top salesman because he's late getting there and he sits around and don't grab a customer when they come through the door. No, if he's going to be a top salesman, he got to get up and he's got to, when somebody comes through the door, can I help you? What can I show you? You need a couch? What do you need? Bed? What do you need? Hello? He's been there long enough now that he's got these customers like Lynette. When she goes in the door and they start coming at her, she said, William is my salesman. And so they'll call for William to come. But and I could look at many people that through the congregation that I know that are accomplishing in life where they're at, and they didn't get there, and you're not accomplishing because you're not putting effort into it. What I'm trying to tell you, if you're going to reach what God wants you to be and discover your full potential with God's help, you got to put something into it. It's not going to fall on you. You got to go out there and work for it. You know, Wesley, it was real funny. When they picked him up, he's in seventh grade, so they picked him up in a bus to take him to the high school to get their equipment. And the head coach for Bigsby High School was driving the bus. And Wesley's sitting right behind him. And he asked him, he said, what's your name? He told him Wesley Burns. And he said, What positions have you played? He said, I only play quarterback. That's all I've ever played. And the coach thought him in. He said, I like that. Why? Because he had a positive attitude about it. That's what he did. See, we need to realize who we are, what we are in Christ, and become all we can be because of who we are in Christ. And a lot of people want to put that just in the spiritual. No, it's the natural and the spiritual. And what I say, the natural and the spiritual coming together, what? What? Make the explosive force for God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Did anybody get anything out of this tonight? Just stand up and thank God that you have potential and you're going to follow Him and do what God has asked you to do and be all you can be. Thank you, Father. We thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, 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 glory. Well, that was just some good teaching tonight. I tried, got a hold of it. You know, I was talking about spiritually and naturally, but unless you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you're not in the spiritual part of it, and then you're not going to have any help from God. So if you happen to be here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, then as we're dismissed, the ladies are here, the men over here, you come down here and your life will be changed forever. If you know what it is to be walk with God, but you've sort of turned your away and not walking where you should be, you need to come back and rededicate your life, you come down here too. If you want to receive the Holy Spirit, if you want prayer for any reason whatsoever, as we're dismissed, come to the front. Right as we're dismissed, you come to the front. Connection team, go find our first time guests and take them to get that special gift that we put together just for them.